a lot of visitors with us today. I pray that you would receive a blessing by being with us today. Hope our family here at this church welcome you with open arms. Here we are in the book of James, chapter 1 today. The Apostle James shows us here what the proper use of the Word of God is. First, he speaks of those who do not use it as they ought to. And second, he speaks of those that do make a right use of it. I'd like for us to consider each of these distinctly today. Let's look at the first. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22. I'll read those verses to you again. James says to those who are either believers or those who think they're believers, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." The way we are to make use of God's word may be learned from it being by being compared here in that verse to a glass or a mirror, in which a man may behold his natural face, as a looking glass shows us the spots and defilements upon our faces, that they may be remedied and washed off. So the word of God shows us our sins, that we may repent of them and get them pardoned. Let me ask you folks this question this morning. You don't have to answer me, just raise your hand. Who in this church looked in the mirror this morning before you came here? Just raise your hand. I believe every one of us. Why? Well, we know it was for the purpose of clearing up any imperfections that we see about ourselves. Many of us scare ourselves first thing in the morning. I do quite often. But we do it because there's a purpose for looking in the mirror. We want to look at ourselves and say, "Hey, what do I need to do with my hair today?" Some of us needed to fix our hair before we came to church today. The way these teenagers are going around today, they don't. They just wake up and they just go at it. They're just, it's every which way. That's the style nowadays. But we want to make sure our hair looks appropriate, according to our likeness, how we think people would like to see us. Also, we want to make sure our teeth are clean, shiny, not yellow and full of gook. We want to make sure when we smile, people are pleased with our smile. We want to make a good representation of ourselves when we smile. We also want to make sure there's no nose hairs hanging out anywhere. we want to do everything we can. Those are purposes for looking in the mirror. The ladies want to make sure their makeup is right, the colors are right, that it all blends well, and that you're satisfied with the way that it looks on you. And we could go on and on about the purpose of why we look in a mirror. Well, James tells us here in these first three verses what the purpose of the Word of God is. It is to remove sin in our lives. It is to keep you from gossiping. Just as you look in the mirror to make sure your hair looks nice, you're to look into the Word of God to correct any error on the inside. A lot of people gossip today. And that destroys ministries, destroys friendships, destroys families. The Word of God tells us and warns us of the destruction of gossiping. Many of us lie. The Bible tells us that God hates liars because it destroys friendships, families, and churches. If you were to look in the Bible, you'd realize cussing is wrong, smoking and drinking is wrong. Why? Because they're harmful to our bodies. If you're a Christian, especially, the Bible says that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't expect non-believers to live right because they don't read God's word. But we're speaking of those who are Christians. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is. Amen. And you're supposed to take care of it. When you look into the Word of God and you read that, if you can continue to live that way and not change, you're doing exactly what the Apostle James says. It's like you looked in the mirror, saw all your imperfections, walked away. For a while you remembered what you looked like, but after a while you forget. And you could care less about what you look like to society. You forgot. Many people today look into the Word of God. They see all of their inward imperfections. For a little while, it bothers them. But as they go on, they forget. And they continue on with their lives of sin. It doesn't bother them. They're hearers of the Word only, not doers. Hearers are linked to non-believers. Doers are linked to believers. We need to realize there is a difference. James saying, hey, some of you think you're saved, but let me tell you how you can know you're not saved. When you look in the mirror, God's Word, and you look at those imperfections about yourself, what does that do to you? Do you change them and continue to keep them changed? Or do you forget and continue your life of sin? The Bible tells us how to raise our kids right. When your kids get out of line, the Bible says you are to punish your children. Not beat them or torture them. Spank them, correct them. It's amazing I see these people spend all this money on obedience training to their dogs, but they could care less how their kids act. Really. That's why this world's so corrupt. Nobody cares about their children, but they care more about their animals. Animals were made to eat. Most of them. Not your little poodles at home, but you know what I mean. We need to realize we need to put the Word of God in order with our lives. But we see here in these three verses that if you are a hearer of the Word only and not a doer of the Word, that you're deceived, the Bible says. You're deceived. You think you're saved, but you're not. You're deceived. So easy to think you're saved, but you need to prove it by your works. You don't do good works to be saved. I was used this illustration of the teens this morning. I said, I'll save it for later. It'll come out better that way. But anyways, we see that James says if you are a doer of the word, that if you are a hearer only and not a doer, that you are deceived. What's that mean? It means this. That when you men open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, 25, I'll read it to you. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Men, if you can read that and close your Bibles and still treat your wife like a dog, guess what? You're just a hearer and not a doer of God's Word. When you look into the mirror of God's Word and you read that, and you walk away from the mirror and you forget what you read, it's because you don't care what it said. There's no Holy Spirit in you to make you care. This is the truth. I'm not talking about just brand new believers. I'm talking about people who are fed for a little while and who know better. We expect new Christians, new believers to change over time. It takes time. But today we're primarily speaking to those who have been saved a while and who know better or who think they've been saved for a while. It's because you don't care what it says, husbands. What you need to do to repent is to repent. Husbands, if you can read Ephesians 5:25 and it doesn't change your relationship with your wife, and you're not treating her like gold, you're not treating her good like she deserves to be, you need to repent. Amen. You need to get saved. You need to. Don't worry, ladies, you're next. You're next. Men are like, oh, hey, I'm not picking on people. I'm talking to everybody today. Wives, it also means that if you can look at Ephesians 5:22 where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Not in just what you think's right, but the Bible says in everything. Ladies, how do you respond to your husbands when he asks you to get him something? If he says, dear, could you help me out with this situation? Could you help me out here? Could you go get this for me? Do you say, get it yourself? Is that what you say? Is that what you say? Dear, I don't like the way our kids have been dressing lately. I want to make some changes. There's nothing wrong with the way they're dressing. The husband is the head of the house. The wife is to be subject under her husband. Any rules the husband makes, the wife is to follow, as long as they're biblical and he's treating his wife the right way. You're to obey your husband either way, but still, the husband needs to be a good husband. But wives, you need to be subject unto your husbands, the Bible says, in everything. Wives, can you look at Ephesians 5:22, read that, and just not care what it says? Can you read it and just say, hey, this ain't changing me? Guess what? You're in sin, you're not saved, and you're going to hell, and you better give that over to the Lord soon. Because if you can read that and not care what it says to save your family, to make a good relationship, if you can read it and just not care, you're not saved. You're not. And I'm going to prove it to you by what James says today. You think you're saved, but you're not. I'm not being legalistic. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, some ladies can read it and it bothers them. They want to live right. They want to follow the Bible, but they have a hard time with this thing called submission to their husband. I'm not talking to you. Because you'll eventually, the Holy Spirit will drive you to the point to where you can turn yourself over to your husband. You need to learn it. It takes faith in the Word of God. I'm talking to you who just can read it and just don't care what it says and says, no, I'm doing my own thing. You're not saved. And you need to repent of that sin today and get right with God. Because you're not a doer of the Word, you are a hearer only. And the Bible says, James says, you're deceived. You're deceived. You can do as much as you want in church and out of the church and think you're doing as much for the Lord as you want, but if you can read it and you just don't care what it says, you're not saved. You're a Martha. You work, 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 and work. When Jesus is in your house, you could care less about what he's got to say. All you care about is cleaning. That's what you are. You need to make those things right with the Lord. Ladies, if you're that type of woman, what you need to do also is to look in the mirror of God's Word. And you need to leave it. And if you leave it and forget what it says, it's because you forgot it, because you're not saved. You're not right with the Lord. What about the church? Church, when you go to your homes and you read your Bibles, and you get to the book of Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Church attenders, does reading this make you think of the importance of church attendance? Or do you look into the mirror of God's Word and forget what that says and just stay home and do your home church? The Bible literally attacks every sin that you can possibly think of, even if it has to do with the church, even your church attendance. Church, when you read that, what does it make you think? Wow, it makes me think there is some sort of importance to God for me being there every time that I'm able to. If I don't have to work, if I can be there, I should be there, because God says to be there, and there's some reasons he says to be there. To exhort one another. Not only to be fed the Word of God, but to maybe cheer somebody up who could use some cheering up. Yep. There might be a lady or a man here who has a specific need. And I can go up to them and not fulfill that need. But you may be able to go up to them and fulfill that need. But if you're at home, sitting on your couch, watching the TV shows and all that, and you're not in church, You've just you've just lost out on being a tremendous blessing. Tremendous blessing. We need to realize the importance of our church attendance. God expects us to do it. God knows that if we're not in church, we're not going to get his word, we're not going to grow, we're going to forget about the work that needs to be done, and we're going to fall back and slip right back into the world, and the church will die. That's why God says you need to be in church. It's part of your edifying. It makes you a stronger believer. It'll get you out there on the streets, pounding on them doors, or handing tracts on the doors and trying to get others saved. But if you honestly can read that, and you're satisfied with your once a month attendance in church, and you can read that, and you say, well, I do my home church most of the time. If you can read that, and it doesn't affect you, something's wrong. The Bible says you are a hearer of the word and not a doer. Amen. I'm not talking about if you're two broken legs and you, or those of our shut-ins who just can't be here. I'm not talking to those. I'm talking about you who have a car and those of you who can start it and drive it and have legs and are healthy, who can be here every Sunday or Wednesday night. I'm speaking to you. If you can read that and it doesn't affect you, something's wrong. It cracks me up every Sunday. I go to the grocery store between the services just to go to the bank and deposit my check. And a lot, I see people who were supposed to be in church that morning are not, but they're behind a shopping cart. And they're happy. They're happy. Not in a suit, not in a dress, but they're happy. And I think there's something wrong when they miss church and they're not sad, but they're happy behind a grocery cart. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. One time I seen it, we had a snowstorm. A certain person called in, said they couldn't make it that morning. I went to the grocery store and I seen them behind a shopping cart. Happy. I won't say who it was, I'll never do that. That person probably doesn't even know who it is. But I'm just saying. And I'm not going to judge them, it's between them and the Lord. But what we need to realize is we need to be doers of the word and not only hearers. Amen. Does no good if you hear it and don't do nothing with it. Does no good. Okay, church, last one before we move on to those who are sold out to God or to the thrivers, those who are doers of the word. If you were to look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, speaks of Jesus. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Here Jesus is looking at a world of lost people. And we see that Jesus has been moved with compassion because those people had no shepherd to watch over them. This is my illustration. I asked the teens this morning, I said, can you imagine a 10,000 acre farm of apple trees? Do you honestly think in one season one man can go into there and pick all them apples before those apples all rot? They said, no way. I said, you're right. You're right. That farmer would have compassion on that fruit. He'd say, man, this could feed a lot of people, but there's no one to help me pick the harvest. Jesus looks at the lost and dying world, and he only has a few disciples next to him, and he sees the multitude standing out there. And the Bible says that Jesus has compassion on them because they have no shepherd. Then he says this, he looks over to his few disciples. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Huh. Church, we have fields and fields and fields and fields of fruit out there that need to be picked, but we have no one to pick it. We got lost souls dying and going to hell every day because all we have are hearers of the word and not doers. Most Christians want to stay home and watch their sin TV and let the neighbor die and go to hell. They don't care. You're just a hearer of the word. You yourself's probably on your way to hell also. If you have no compassion like Jesus had on a lost world, can you look into a harvest of lost souls and say, let them go to hell? I don't care. Can you do that, Christian? Most of you do. Most of us do. A lot of Christians today do. You want to know why I say that? Because look at the churches today. Look at the churches today. They're all going the liberal way. They're using ungodly methods to draw a crowd instead of the gospel. It's wrong what we're doing. We all need to look into the harvest that's out there. We all need to look at that 10,000 apple farm, that 10,000 acre apple farm, and say, wow, we need to get some help to get these apples picked before they rot. This church needs to get some help and get these lost souls all around us saved before they rot. Amen. And fall off into eternity. It should bother every one of us that there's lost souls dying and going to hell all around us, and we're sitting and doing nothing. Nothing. Jesus needs some laborers for this church to reach this community. Will it be you, Christian? Will you help today? Will you decide today when I do the altar call to come and pray and ask the Lord to help you to be a better laborer? To help you to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only? We need a lot of help on track attack, folks. Can you get off of the chair on Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, and come and help us pass out tracts? We got 3 vans. We could fill them up, and we could get a lot of tracts on the doors. But that's for the doers. If you don't help in VBS, then guess what? You're saying, I don't care about those kids. You know, so many churches nowadays don't focus on the children. They just say, we need adults. You need adults? Yeah, absolutely we need adults. Just as importantly, we need the children too. Amen. You know, statistically, if a child does not get saved by the age of 18, there's a 90% chance they'll never get saved. Why do you think we're running 40 to 50 kids downstairs on Wednesday nights? Why do you think we bought another van just for the kids? When I said we needed another van, Pastor Veal, Brother Lee, and all the board said, absolutely, let's do it. Amen. We got kids out there that need church. But then we're still down a bus driver. Who's going to be a doer for that? We need some doers and not hearers. Okay, I'm done with that. Let's look at our second point. I'd like to brag on some of our blessings that we do have in our church. For those of you who are doers, I'd like to encourage you even more today. I'd like to encourage you. James 1:25, the Bible says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want you to notice from the text, James said that for those who looked into the law of liberty, which is the gospel, for those who have the gospel, who believe the gospel, who know the gospel, and continue in it. This means that if you have started to do something in the church and you continue in it and you haven't given it up, he's speaking to you. He's not talking to those of you who have done something for a little while because you felt happy or you were counting on your emotions to keep you going. He's not talking to you. Because if you count on your emotions to keep you going, you're going to fail because you're going to get upset and you're going to stop doing it. Amen. James is talking to those who have God's word in them, and the word of God is driving them to keep going on for the Lord's work. This is who I'm talking to today. We have a lot of people who start to volunteer to do something, but only a few weeks later they stop. Right. It was an emotion. Their heart wasn't in it. It wasn't the word of God driving them to do it. They probably just wanted a pat on the back. You're not getting a pat on the back from me if that's how you are. And we shouldn't wait for pat on the back from people. We should just worry about what God thinks about us. But James says, for those of you who are, but those who looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. We have people in this church who are doers of the word.
Amen.
And I'm happy to say that. But it's not everybody. It's a few compared to the amount of, we got 130 people in this church. That's adults. Only a small number of that show up to do stuff for the church, the work of the Lord. But I'd like to brag on those who have done good things for the Lord. I can only talk about the last 2.5 years that I've been here, but since I've been here, we were able to open every room downstairs, put a teacher in every room, and fill it with kids. Now, was it all Pastor Green? Absolutely not. I led it, but a lot of people followed. A lot of the doers said, hey, let me help you out, Pastor Green. Can I be a teacher? Can I be a bus driver? How can I help you? And guess what? I think our church has a thriving Sunday school for the children. And this morning, I was real happy. We had a lot of people in church this morning. We have a lot of doers of the word in the church here today. We had a King's Kids. When I came here, I said, Pastor Veal, he wanted me to direct the King's Kids, and that's good because my wife loves working with the children, and I like starting new programs and getting them going. When we started, we had about 3 children. But a lot of you folks who said, I'm a doer of the word. Can I be a King's Kid teacher? Absolutely. We started knocking on doors, and before you know it, we're up to 40 to 50 kids. It's because of you doers. So it's teachers who faithfully come every Wednesday night, drive the buses, teach those kids the Word of God. Well, how about BBS? Last year, I'm excited about the neighborhood Bible time we had last year. We had 50 children visit, 25 got saved. 25 got saved. Because we had a lot of people help. A lot of bus drivers, a lot of people. And every one of you are going to be rewarded for every good thing that took place at Vacation Bible School last year.
Amen.
Because you're doers of the word. You realize the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Doesn't matter how many laborers you can get. It's what you as a laborer are going to do. And you did your part, and the Lord blessed us for that. Not only that, but you who go to Track Attack. We've seen tremendous growth from Track Attack. We've got families in this church who are attending today because you folks who labored, you doers of the word who labored for the Lord, it may have been your tract that you put on that door that they read. We don't know the countless numbers of other people who may have read that and got saved and who just haven't found a church home yet. There's a lot more rewarding going on than we know. God is blessing us greatly for our hard work and our faithfulness for being doers and not hearers. All of this does not go unnoticed with God. Read the last part of that verse. It says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what this means? It means God is going to bless you for being a doer of his word. Now, God does keep his word, does he not?
Amen.
Absolutely. God's not a liar. God says, I hate liars. So we know that God is faithful in keeping his word. A lot of people do so much for the Lord, but it goes unnoticed, and they get depressed. Happens to everybody. But we need to remember one thing, what James says. This man shall be blessed. Talking about ladies too. This man shall be blessed in his deed for your work for the Lord. Imagine the treasures in heaven that you are accumulating because of your hard work. We're almost done. For those of you who are miserable, though, do you want to know why you're miserable and you don't enjoy church? And it takes everything you got to even get here once a month? It's because you're not a doer of the word. You've read the Bible. You've tried it. But you know what? You forgot it. And you're miserable. And you'll be miserable until you get it right. Until you get saved. Listen, last Wednesday night, I was astonished to see Emily Stubbings here. She needed to be home, in my own opinion. She needed to be home resting. But guess what? Boy, she's a doer. She wanted to be here. And you know what? She is able to teach one of the classes for us. She's having a rough time. But guess what? She's a doer.
Amen.
We all need to be like that. Hey, if you weren't here because you had a hurt toenail last week, that's no excuse. Emily Stubbings was here, and she needed to be at home resting, but on her heart, she wanted to be here to teach those kids. We all need to take a lesson from that. We find way too many excuses to bail out on God, but none of them are good, unless you honestly can't be here. Really, I'm not talking, hey, if you're missing a leg and you just got run over and this and that, I'm just saying for those who are healthy, you have no excuse not to be here unless you had to work or something. But I'm just saying we need to be more doers of the word than hearers. But for those of you who are miserable, what you have done, Christian, has become like the people of 2 Peter chapter 2, 22. And I'm going to finish up with this. The Bible says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Folks, if you only got changed on the outside and not the inside, you are a hearer of the word and not a doer. You're like that pig that is taken from the pen to be cleaned. But that pig will do that which is natural to itself, and it'll jump back in the mud and be comfortable. You can take a little pig, scrub them down, get all that dirt, make it just nice, pretty pink as you want. Put a little ribbon around its neck, slap some perfume on them. But you know what that pig's going to say? My inside don't match my outside. I don't want to live like, I want to be dirty. And it'll jump right back in that mud.
That's right.
Or a dog that returns to his vomit. I remember as a kid watching my dog, if it got sick once in a while, he'd turn back, go back and eat it. It's sick. But they do that. But it's a good illustration of what a person who thinks they're saved is like. They get all excited. Woo, I'm saved. Let me do something for the Lord. They do it. And a few weeks later, they're back to smoking, cussing, drinking, lying, cheating, treating their wife like a dog or treating their husband like a dog. Back to the old vomit. Jumped right back in the mud. They cleaned up for a second, but their natural, their instincts, the person who they really are inside, drove them back to what they really are. Unsaved and on their way to hell. Many of you in here today could be that person. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. Are you a doer of the word? Or are you a hearer only? If this is you today, then won't you come down to the altar? Give your life to God so that you can truly be a hearer and a doer of the word of God. For those of you who said, Pastor Green, I've never been in a church before. I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, let me tell you something. First thing you need to do is give your life to Christ. Because what's going to happen is your relationship with God right now, there is no relationship with God. You're not his child if you're not born again and saved. But if you want to go to heaven when you die, you need to become God's child. And you can do that by knowing four simple things. First, you need to realize that we're all considered, in God's eyes, sinners. We've all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
Why are we sinners? First of all, what Adam and Eve did in the garden, we've all inherited their sin. And not only that, but we all have our own personal sins also. That makes us sinners. And we cannot have a relationship with God with sin in our lives. But God says, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants you to know, listen, that sin in your life is going to separate you from me after death, and you're going to be cast in the lake of fire, hell. But God gave a remedy to keep you from going there. He gave you Jesus, his son, who died to take away your sins. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we, all of us, were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, what a wonderful gift. The gift of eternal life in heaven. No one else offered it to you. Your neighbors aren't going to give it to you. You can't gain it yourself. It's the gift that Jesus gave himself on the cross. The book of Romans also says, all you have to do, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Realize you're a sinner. Realize the punishment for sin. Realize Jesus paid that price for you. And all you have to do is accept it by faith. Pray a prayer into your life. Pray a prayer to God that you're acknowledging to God you're a sinner. You're acknowledging to Him that you're on your way to hell without salvation. Acknowledge to God that you realize Jesus paid the price. And then all you have to do is call on God, call on Jesus to save you. And He'll do that today. It's a promise. Then you can become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. As you, everyone stands and the music director comes forward, if it's on your heart today, come to the altar.